1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Tonight, we're going to only read one verse of Scripture. That's the last verse in chapter 15. We're going to read verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you today for your wonderful grace. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that we might have our sins washed and cleansed, and Lord, that we'd be ready for heaven by putting our faith and trust in his finished work. Thank you so much for that. And once again tonight, this preacher needs your power, needs your help, your wisdom, need everything from you as I preach, and ask you, God, to do what's necessary in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians is one of those very special, precious chapters. If you read it, it deals basically with the subject of resurrection. If you would go through it, now I have what's called a Schofield Bible. Most of you, a lot of you have the old Schofield Bible. That's what we have, King James Version of the old Schofield Bible. And sometimes he'd put a little heading above some of the scriptures, and they're very helpful. They're not scripture. The headings are not scripture, but they're very helpful. But if you'll notice in chapter 15, the very first of it, it says the fact of Christ's resurrection. And there, of course, it's dealing with that subject. And next, over in verse number 12, right above it, it says the importance of Christ's resurrection. And then on the third item there is in the 20th verse, it says the order of the resurrection. And in verse 35, right above it, it says the method of resurrection. Over in verse 51, it says, all believers will not die. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. And we're going to see that wonderful rapture of the church when God's going to come and get us. And he just simply put a little heading there, all believers will not die. And then next in verse 54, right above it, it says, the final victory over death. And then you'll notice right over verse 58, it says, the ultimate victory, a motive to serve. And what a wonderful thing it is. That'd be a good outline, wouldn't it? That'd just be a good outline to preach, you know. But chapter 15 is one of these very blessed chapters of the Bible. And it has just got so many wonderful truths in it. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to just dwell upon verse number 58. Now, I understand that you probably know, if you've been around here a long time, that's my life's verse. Right soon after I got saved and then was called to preach, I do not remember exactly when it was, but somewhere in that area of time, God laid upon my heart to take that verse as my life's verse. Now, when I take a life's verse, I don't want to just have something that I know and I like it and it's good. I wanted it to be a way of life for me. Now, I want all of the Bible to be a way of life for me, but I wanted this verse of Scripture, since I was going to preach the Word of God, I always wanted to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I've believed that all of these years. And I wanted to be steadfast. I wanted to be unmovable, you see. And in fact, all of the things that he says in chapter 15, verse 1 through 57, the conclusion of it comes down to verse 58. He says all these things about the resurrection, says all of those things, and then, of course, you see that word, therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you always ask yourself, what is the word therefore, therefore? And it's therefore to tell you, now I'm going to come to a conclusion. Here, after all of these wonderful truths concerning the resurrection, here's what you do. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do that as a conclusion of all this other. That's what he wants us to do. Amen. So when I took that verse of scripture as my life verse, it was not something that was just simply something that I thought was nice. It was something that I wanted to be a way of life for me. I wanted that to be exactly what I was. Steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I'm going to preach a message tonight which I've entitled, I have seen enough. And I've seen enough to know that it's so important that I be steadfast, unmovable. You see, I believe something. I believe this Bible is the Word of God. There are some basic truths, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but they're basic truths that you and I believe. Whether if I would ask you, do you believe that? I'm sure you would say. First of all, I believe God the Father is sovereign. And that means that He is all-powerful over all things and can do whatever He wishes to do when He wants to do it, and He doesn't have to ask anybody if it's okay. God is sovereign. I also believe that Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the Savior. And He is the only Savior. When I got saved in 1966, I did not put my trust in anyone else but Jesus Christ for the salvation of my soul. He is the one that died on the cross for my sins. No one else did. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. And I believe that tonight, and I stand on that, and I will not be moved from that truth. Amen. Not only that, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God that comes to live within us when we're born again, when we get saved, when we become born into God's family, is the power for service. I believe He's my comforter, but I know also He is the power for me to serve Him. There is none else. Flesh has no power. The only power I have to serve God, it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I realize if there's ever been anyone saved under my ministry, it was because God saved them, not me. I have never saved a person in all of my life. I have had the privilege of showing a person what it meant to be saved and how to come to Christ, but I never did do any of the saving, and neither did you. God Almighty done the saving and always has, always will. And so the Holy Spirit of God is the one who convicts us of sin and certainly borns us into the family of God, you see. I believe also, as I said earlier, that this Bible is the Word of God. It is absolute truth. There is no error in it. What it says is absolute truth. And it is what I must run my life by. It is what I must run a church by. That's why the decisions I make in this church, I do not make them from the whims of people, but from the Word of God. What God says in His Word. We're living in a society where there's multitudes of people who are simply going by the traditions of men and what men think and what men think is best. That is absolutely contrary to what we are to do. We are to take this absolute truth of the Bible and follow the Bible. It's the Word of God, and it must be the guide and director of our life. Amen. I'm there tonight. That's what I believe. I'm not going to switch from that. I'm not going to move from it. I'm going to be steadfast in that. Now, also, I believe that the church, the basic purpose of the church is, first of all, to glorify God Almighty. That is our purpose. As the church, as an individual Christian, our purpose is to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. Now, the work of the church that God has given us to do is the winning of souls to Christ. It's a three thing. Win souls, get them baptized, and then teach them how to live for God so they can win souls, get people baptized, and teach them how to win for God, live for God. It's just that's the purpose that God gave the church. If we get off of that purpose, we're here for the wrong reason. We're to win people to Christ, That's what God wants us to do. That is the work of the church, the individual Christian. Then get them baptized. And then teach them how to live for Jesus. So they can go out and win people to Jesus. Amen? It's just a round robin thing. That's the purpose. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm sold on that tonight. The church is not to be some social order, some political order. It's the work of God. And the work of God is to get people saved, ready for heaven. That's our work. That's what God has given us to do. So I believe the Bible tonight. And I believe what we do here, I believe is what I do, is everything in my heart I do to try to follow what God wants done. And it is so hard today from all the areas that come at us to try to get people to understand we've got to follow the Bible. Not your whim or my tradition or your tradition, but we've got to follow the Bible, the Word of God. That is absolute truth. And there is none other but the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? So in other words, what I want to share with you, I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. We, Don and I, had the privilege of getting away for a little time, and it helped us tremendously. It was a blessing to us. And during that time, I want you to know something. I went to church every service. Amen? I want you to know I did not skip church. I don't skip church on my vacation. In fact, I look for other opportunities to go to church if I can. But Donna said that one day. She said, where are we going to go on the first Sunday? And I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what's been on my heart. So I want to go to this certain church. I'd been there years and years ago. In fact, years ago, this church was one of the great fortresses of fundamentalism. And the leader of that church, the pastor of that church, has stood for the Word of God down through the years. And why, what a blessing and encouragement to people around him, and how he's stood and fought the battles that he had to fight. And so I said, I want to go. I haven't been there in about 20 years. Probably been that long since I've been in that church. And so we went, and I was so looking forward to getting hearing this man preach. And I went in and found out that he was mainly out doing evangelistic work now. He wasn't really he's called a senior pastor, but he's not really. His son had taken over the church and was mainly the main pastor of the church, and he was doing a lot of evangelistic work and things like that. And so a little bit disappointing, but I thought, oh, well, that's all right. I'll take what God gives me, and I'm sure we'll hear something good. And I found out as I sat and listened that the church had changed dramatically. The son who was leading the church, does not mean when I say this, do not think for a moment that I think he's a bad man or anything like this. I do not think that. But he's decided that you can't do, and he said this from the pulpit. He said, you can't do things like my dad did 30 years ago. You got to change. And a thought went through my mind. I wonder if we could do things like they did 2,000 years ago. Been a long time back to the beginning of the church, back in the days of the apostles. I think we could do things like that, don't you? I think that's the way God would want us to do, don't you? But he made that statement. And he even got up and talked about how they was going to change some things in the church. And one of the things he was going to change was the music. Going to have a lot more music. And he had a music leader up there. And let me say something to you, folks. You mark it down. You mark it down. You listen to this preacher. Been around a while. One of the first places that old Satan gets in a church is in its music. And begins to take it a downward trail. I'll talk a little more about that in just a few moments. But the music leader got up. He had his handheld microphone, one of those portable things. And he swayed and he went like this. You know, you want me to do that? And anyway, and he was singing, you know, and just putting on a kind of a performance up there. And the singing was the contemporary songs. Contemporary songs and contemporary words. And that's what I heard that morning, and also heard a contemporary message. Didn't preach Jesus. Not saying he didn't believe in Jesus, not saying he didn't do any of those things, but I mainly just preached a contemporary message that would try to help in some area of the life without Jesus being in much of it. Now, the first man that got up to sing a special
got up and he had his hair down over his ear. Now, first of all, somebody's going to say to me, say, Brother Ross, what's that matter? Now, I want you to listen to me. Whenever things begin to slip, you'll notice that it'll just go a little bit. But it won't be long, it'll be quite a bit. You say, well, what's wrong with hair down over the ears? Because God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. God's word says that. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, you read it. Now, is that right? I know hair over the ear doesn't change salvation. I understand that. But I'm telling you, we got to hold the line. I'm telling you, we've got to do right. And we've got to hold the line because multitudes of churches all over this land are not holding the line. And when you let it slip a little bit, it's going to slip somewhere else. You say, well, Brother Ross, you know, that wouldn't hurt anything. Well, let me ask you a question. What would hurt? Would it hurt if it was here on a man? Would it hurt if it was here on a man? Where is your standard? Would it hurt if it was here on a man? What does God mean when he says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? What does he mean? Where is the standard? You see, a church, as a pastor, I don't have the privilege like you do to be able to sit and look and say, oh, well, this, you know, this is that and that. And you don't really have to worry too much about it. But as the leader of the church, I have to be concerned to where the church is going. It's up to me to be concerned about that, you see. I went other places and have over the years, and I went where I've observed a people who have no respect for pastoral leadership. Now, I want to tell you something. One of the great problems today in Christianity is that most folk do not want the authority of the pastor. Do you understand me? No, they're wanting him to be just somebody who performs duties for them and is not the leadership. Who is not a man of God. Do you understand when God calls a preacher and calls him to preach and puts him in a church, do you understand he is sending to you a messenger from God? That's what he gives me for. That's what he gives other preachers for. We're to be messengers of God, not messengers for what the people want. Amen? Is that true scripturally? Now, I'm talking about Bible. I'm not talking about what you think or maybe what would be good for you. I'm talking about Bible. Is that true biblically? Sure it is, and you know it is. So, you see, I've seen enough to know that I'm never going to move from the position of the pastor being the one that leads instead of the being the one that's led. I'm not going to move from it. Let me tell you a story. While I was on vacation, I turned down on one of those news programs one night. I think it was, I'm not sure which one it was. Seemed like it might have been 48 hours. But they was going back about a year ago about a great fire they had out in California, these forest fires. You know how terrible they get? And they was going back to this special forest fire they had last year that was so devastating, so terrible, that they've never seen any fire like it. It was so great. Now, I'm not talking about a little field burning across here. I'm talking about that fire coming over that mountain, and I mean burning hundreds of acres in just a minute. Devastating. Just carrying. Just going. And this girl had got this video camera and taken a picture of it, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, just monstrous fire coming at them. And it said that they always, in firefighting, they always get their escape routes cut, you know, where they want them and where they're going to go if something happens, you know. It cut off all of their escape routes in just no time. And here's what they said. The people they talked to that made it through this fire said, they gave the credit to the man who was the leadership of that firefighting unit. He was over all the units. They give credit to him for any of them escaping with their life. They said without his leadership, all would have been lost. They'd have died. But I want you to notice what he said. It was so interesting when they let him speak. He said this. He said, without those
that was under me doing exactly what I said to do, and they did it. If they hadn't have, we all would have been lost. And here's what he said. He had a backfire. They call it a backfire. Now, you got to remember, again, we're not talking about a little fire out here. We're talking about a monstrous thing. And he said these backfire had to be set in sequence. And he had these groups setting these fires in sequence, and they exactly had to be set exactly when he said they was to be lit. Because when they would do that, it sucked the oxygen out of that big fire that was coming. I don't understand any of those kind of things. He did, because he knew what he was doing. But I don't understand what he's talking about. But he said that it had to be set just in sequence whenever he said for it to be set. And all along a long line. And he said they did it exactly like I told him. Now here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said if any one of those had panicked, any one of them had panicked and out of fear for their own life had to set their fire out of sequence, it wouldn't have worked and we'd have been lost. And boy, I thought to myself, folks, that'll preach. And I'm telling you something, folks. God has a way of doing things. And he sends forth a pastor in a church to direct the church. And he sets forth there when this should be done and when that should be done. And God does that. And when he don't do it as the pastor directs, there's going to be a problem. It's not going to work. Now, what I'm simply saying to you is this. Spiritual people who love the Lord and understand biblical principles knows that they've just got to do the work of God. And even when you don't always understand everything a pastor says, don't understand why he's doing this or why he's doing that, you've got to understand it's because God is putting there to direct the church, and it needs to be done because God has told the pastor that's what needs to be done. Now, I've seen enough to know that I'm never, ever, just guarantee you, going to pastor a church where the church tells me what to do. Now, I've been down the road too far. I'm not going to do it. And let me say to you, when I'm saying this, you don't. You don't do that. I'm just saying this so you'll understand. You're a blessed people. And I'm saying to you, but that's the way it has to be done. You see, that's a must. You may not understand it, but that is a must. And so I've seen enough, you see, to know that I'm not going to move from that. Not only that, I've seen enough to know that I'm never going to move from the direction we set for Blessed Hope Baptist School. We set a direction for Blessed Hope Baptist School a long time ago. And we've got some directions set for it, and we're not going to move from it no matter what happens. You see, the purpose for the school is to help you parents, your children, to grow spiritually. Amen? We're here to help them grow spiritually. That is the basic thing that God wants us to do, is build their children spiritually. He wants us to teach them how to live more than he wants them to learn how to make a living. Mark it down. Learning how to live is much more important than learning how to make a living. Now, they're both important. Both should be done. But let me guarantee you, learning how to live is much more important. Learning how to serve God, no matter what you do in life, is very, very important. Another thing we do in this school is try to build character. We believe in building character in young people. I want to tell you, I believe it's wrong for a young child to lie. And they need to know it's wrong to lie. They need to know that when they grow up, that it's wrong to lie. And there's other character traits that we try to build in them so they'll understand. And when they come from this place, along with basically the parents' teaching, because that's where most of it comes from, we just reinforce it.
is that there's some character built into that child, and he's ready to go out into life and live for God, and he's got some character about him, and he'll live a life of character. Now, also, we believe in academic excellence. And I believe with all of my heart we ought to do everything we can to give these students, and I believe we do, absolutely excellent education. You'll find out that the students from our school make higher grades on their CAT test than the public school students do, most of them do, put it that way. We believe in excellence in education. I want your students to have a great education. And we work toward that. Now, we've kept our church, our school basically for our church children. And it is right and proper, because you bring the world in and you got a mess. But let me say something to you. We need our people in this church supporting this school and bringing your children here and putting them in this school. They need to be here with us and help us support this place and get it going so we can turn out some young people for Jesus Christ. I've just decided a long time ago I'm not going to move from those principles from the school for anybody. Amen. And you know what? You don't want me to. No, you don't want me to. I know you don't, you see. And I'm just saying to you, I'm not going to move. I'm going to be unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. Not only that, I've seen enough to know I must never move from busing boys and girls into the house of God to get them saved. I want to tell you something. I believe in the bus ministry. We now have 5 buses. We have 2 vans. And I believe with all of my heart, I've seen enough down through the years to see boys and girls constantly coming through those doors, and many of them getting saved, coming to Christ. To believe that we've got to continue to do that. Just keep at it. Keep at it. Boys and girls that would never come into the church's doors without bus ministry, bringing them in. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm just not going to move from that. Now, I want you to understand something, bus folk. I appreciate you. Appreciate the work you do. Appreciate all the labor you put in, because I have some understanding. I may not understand all that you do on a daily basis and weekly basis, but I want to tell you something. I understand the work is great, and you're doing a great work. I also want you to understand something. There's a lot of expenses to a bus route. You got to buy a bus, you buy gas, all of those things. It's an expensive item. That's all right. There's no return on it as far as material return. There is spiritually. The school is an expensive item. I want you to understand that. What I'm saying is this. We can't have buses going out here and just bringing a few in week after week after week and not getting out there and knocking on doors and getting more boys and girls ready to come to church. You got to work those buses. You got to go out there and visit. And you got to do that on a weekly basis. You got to knock on new doors every week. That's the bus ministry. That's right. That's just it. That's the way it is. And if we bring in 10 or 11 kids on a bus, and some of them are from the family that's running the bus route, we've run a whole bus somewhere a long distance, used God's gas, used the bus, all of that kind of thing, and haven't brought any more than that in on that bus, we might as well pick them up in cars. Now, we need to be busy about our bus ministry. Amen. Thank God we are. We had a good group this morning on our bus ministry. I'm just simply saying, folks, I believe in the bus ministry. I'm for you. I'm behind you. I believe we got to bus boys and girls into Blessed Hope Baptist Church to get them saved. You all know how many's been saved. I mean, you've seen them come up these aisles and got saved, come to Christ. You've seen them. That's a marvelous thing, you see. But I've seen enough to know that I never want to stop the bus ministry. Not only that, I've seen enough to know I must never move from the standards in modesty of dress. I want to tell you something, folks. Down through the years, I've watched this thing year after year after year, and I've watched it go on a downward slide. I want to tell you, the Word of God has very much to say about the way we ought to dress as a Christian. The Word of God instructs the ladies to dress modestly. That word modest, if you'll go into the Bible instead of your own thinking, means long and flowing. It means well covered. Now, I just want to tell you something, folks. God does care how we dress and how we behave ourselves and how we look as a Christian. God does care about it. He cares how we men look. He wants us to dress modestly. He wants us to be different than what the world is. You come into God's house, and I've said this so many times, but there's people who come into God's house, and they're new people, and sometimes they're lost people. And, oh, you want to treat them with the greatest kindness and be as kind to them as you can be. And I mean that with all of my heart. You want to demean them anyway, because a lot of them don't even know the Lord. They need to come to know the Lord. But we as a people here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, needs to set an example. A high example, you see, of godliness in our dress. But his name is Chuck Swindoll. Some of you know him. I usually don't quote him from the pulpit. But he even himself said the other day on radio, he was getting so discouraged about the way that women were dressing in church. He said, I'm not talking about the world. He said, they're dressing with all these low necklines and short skirts. And he said this, because usually he don't say these things. Your preacher might, but he don't. He said, I want to tell you something. Them women's going to be accountable to God. They're tempting men by dressing that away. And it's wrong for them to dress right. Christian women ought to be different. We ought to dress different. We ought to be modesty. Why? You say, oh, Brother Austin, that's just your thinking. No, that's what the Bible says. And that's where we get our guidelines, is from the Bible, not from tradition, you see. The Bible says that, so we need to be faithful. I've seen enough to know I'm never going to move from my standard on faithfulness. God's people need to be faithful to God's house. Now, I just want to tell you something. If you serve in this church, and you serve in a capacity in this church, you have a responsibility to be at every service of the church. Amen. Is that right? Well, I mean, is that asking too much? Didn't you know that long years ago? You've heard your preacher preach for years and years. Is that the way we do it around here? Oh, absolutely. You see, faithfulness to God's house. You be here. You know why? Because you ain't going to grow any other way. You're going to miss church. You're going to miss the Word of God. You're not going to grow. You're not going to learn. It's impossibility to learn outside the preaching of the Word of God or the studying of the Word of God. It's impossibility. You cannot do it. And so that's why I say to you, church faithfulness is absolutely a necessity. I'm not going to move from my standard of believing that actions of a Christian should be absolutely above, without question, above board. All of our actions, what we do, our speech should absolutely be. I know Mr. Baker mentioned about his speech changed. You know what? We as Christians, we have a responsibility to change our speech. We're not right for us to go around and claim that we're God's children and then talk like the devil talks. It's not saying you're better than anybody else. We're not saying that. It's just that we're Christian. We're different now. Amen? I'm not going to change from that. See? Not only that, I believe something. I believe it's scriptural. I believe it's the Word of God that men are to look like men and women are to look like women. The Bible says a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to men. The Bible says that. Care what man says. The Bible says that. And same thing says about the man. Amen. I still believe that with all of my heart. You see. And I'm not going to move from that. Amen. I'm going to love you. I'm going to appreciate you. But I'm not going to move from those stands in the Bible. You see. I'm just not going to. I've been too far down the road. I certainly am not going to change now. Amen. I'm not going to meet God as a liberal. Amen. No. I'm going to stick with the Word of God, you see. I'm just going to do right. Another thing, I want to get back just a few moments to the music thing. I believe something. Music and singing, and I want to say something to you. You usually do such a good job. Brother Tommy just does such a sweet job in leading our music and all that. And you usually do such a good job of lifting your voices up. We have people mention it. But I want to tell you something. Here lately, you've been sloughing off. You ain't been singing like you ought to. I mean, we ought to raise the roof on this thing. Get our voices coming out for God. Amen. Now you quit that. You get to singing. Amen. Lift your voices up.
to the Lord. Amen? That's right. That's proper. And I know how Brother Tommy feels about it. He gets up here and leads, and a lot of times folk won't sing. He'll say, now everybody's singing. And I look out there, and there's people not even singing. I know how he feels about that, because I get up here and say, y'all do this, y'all do that. They don't do it either. Amen? So I'm just simply saying to you, we ought to always have a good singing service, you see. And the songs, the music, and the words ought to glorify God Almighty. Did you know this church was built on old-fashioned hymn singing, old-fashioned singing? Did you know that? You know that's what this church was built on? See, some of you don't know what this church is built on, but I want to tell you, it was built on that old-fashioned hymns of the faith. I mean, just singing. We'd done a lot of singing, you know, and all kinds of things. We didn't know what we was doing a lot of times. But boy, we lifted our voices to the Lord, and we sung songs of the faith. I want to tell you something. Contemporary songs and words and music and sound is out. I don't want to hear any more of it. You say, Brother Ross, you say, you don't know a whole lot about music. No, I've never been trained in music. I honestly haven't. I want to tell you something I do know a lot about. I do know a lot about the Spirit of God. And I know when the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness with me that the song that's being sung is not good. It's not right. This preacher knows. And them old contemporary songs, I want them out. Contemporary words and contemporary sounds. We get them anymore from a lot of these colleges around. That's got to have the contemporary, you know, all this kind of stuff. Don't need it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's not what this church was founded on. It's not what this church is going to go forward on. It's going to go forward on the singing of the old hymns of the faith. Amen. That's what we need. And that's what we're going to have. Now, I've seen enough. One more thing. I've seen enough to know that I'm not going to move on my preaching about family. I want to tell you something, folks. Families across America is being destroyed. Tore up. And one of the main reasons they're being destroyed, I'm talking about in churches. I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about in churches. One of the reasons they're being tore up is that the pulpits have been silent on the preaching about family. I'm talking about God's standard. And preachers have been silent on that. I'm not going to be silent about the family. I'm going to love you enough to preach and tell you that a husband ought to be the leader of the home. He should be the leader. You know why? Because the Bible says he is the head of the home. Is that right? Sure, the Bible says, not what you think or someone else thinks. That's what the Bible says. But you know, also, in coming in leadership always comes a lot of responsibility. Responsibility not just to tell, but to lead. You want to tell your wife and family to be spiritual, you must be spiritual. You must lead your family to the house of God. You must lead your family in the things of the Scripture. You must be the leadership. You see, a lot comes with just being, hey, I'm going to be the head of my home. A lot comes with that. A lot of responsibility comes with that. But I'm going to keep preaching it because it's God's word. It's what God says. And men need to get back to loving God and walking with God and serving God and being obedient to God Almighty so that they can lead their families. Not only that, I'm never going to quit preaching about wives are supposed to be in submission to their husbands. Loving leadership. It is the Word of God. Let me say something to you, wife or future wife. If you run the home, you're absolutely unscriptural. Because the Bible tells you to be in submission. Now, that's what the Bible says. If you don't want to believe the Bible, don't believe it. But the Bible says in Ephesians, you're to be submissive to your own husband. I'm not going to ever quit preaching that. That's where we've messed up in America. Preachers have just shut their mouth about this thing. That's what God says it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. Men are supposed to lead, and they're supposed to do so lovingly and spiritually. to lead their family, and the ladies are supposed to follow the leadership of that man. I've heard all kinds of excuses. I've heard all these things. I said, well, my husband just don't lead like he should, so I have to do it. That's a cop-out, and that's a lie. God didn't tell you to not lead, submit to your husband if he didn't do like you wanted him to. You're to submit in loving leadership of a wonderful husband that God has put in your life. I'm never going to quit preaching that. And I'm going to preach also that children are to be raised in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. It's what God tells us to do. And I'm going to keep preaching, children, you obey your parents. For that is right in the Lord. Amen. God says, so I'm never going to quit preaching. And I'm going to just keep on hammering. I'm going to just keep preaching. And I'm going to just keep telling these young people around here, you listen to your parents. You do what your parents said. You say, I don't think they know what they're doing. Don't make a difference. God says you're to obey. I may not understand it either, but God says to obey him. Amen. And I'm going to keep preaching that. But I'm also going to teach to the parents and to the mom and the dad that you ought not to provoke your children to wrath. You ought to give them a hearing and listen to them of what God is doing in their life. But you children, you obey your parents because God says to. Amen. So I'll tell you what, I've been down the road a ways. I decided a long time ago I was going to be steadfast and unmovable. And I'm not going to move in these areas and plus a lot of other areas. I'm just not going to move in them. Why? Because it's scriptural. Not going to have a liberal church. Jacksonville, Indiana does not need another liberal church. It needs a church that'll stand on the things of the Bible and just keep on doing it no matter where it falls, no matter what anybody says, just keep on doing right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your mercy, and your kindness, and your love to us. Once again, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this people tonight who's come to hear. And we ask you, Father, to just simply take this message, use it to your glory, and help us, Lord, to all of us to love you and to just realize how wonderful you are, how good you are. And thank you for sending Christ our Savior that we might have eternal life. And we thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.